4.
The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
This afternoon, and Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and peace to you. This is welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, right here on WHK 1220 The Word. I'm your host, or your co-host, I should say, John Bartlett. And coming up will be our teacher and minister, the Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, and welcome to WHK. It's really good to be back. Yes, I'm back. It's been a while, but in a way, it's a brand new weekly show for us, and I'm very excited about being here. And for those of you that have never heard of Shofar Ministries before, you're going to know a lot about us through the weeks. We're going to have a lot of things that we're going to cover, but basically, I'm an ongoing student of God's Word, but I specialize in eschatology. Okay, I know, that's a funny word, isn't it? But basically, it's just a fancy word for the study of the end times. And I've been studying it for 20, 25 years. I've even lost track. But I want to welcome my co-host tonight, John. He's a longtime good friend. He's also the worship leader at Shofar Assembly. And he's also an ongoing student of God's Word. And actually, I hope everybody is an ongoing student of God's Word. But he's a musician and a gifted singer as well. John Bartlett.
Well, thank you for that nice introduction. Let's open today with prayer, okay? Father in heaven, we just thank you for the opportunity to be on the air again, and we ask you to bless our time, and also we thank you for your Holy Spirit who's going to open our ears and our hearts and our minds to what you have to say through your word and through us as we study the end times. In the name of Jesus, or Yeshua, HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. I also want to mention that John knows Hebrew, and so we're very blessed to have him on the show, because every once in a while we're going to be giving a Hebrew idiom or something sometimes, and John is going to be able to say it in Hebrew and say what it means.
Hopefully I could do that all the time.
Yes. But anyway, I also want to explain what else you're going to do, okay?
Okay.
You're going to pitch in with some possible questions that the listeners might have that I might overlook or not make clear enough. You know, I might assume that you know things that maybe new student to God's Word wouldn't know, and John is going to call my attention to perhaps explaining a little more detail what I mean.
Yes, and I'm going to give you some examples of some of the topics or questions that we might have. I know that, number one, the word eschatology, if you're not familiar with it, we're going to discuss, I think it would be a good time to discuss what that word actually means. Mm-hmm. Here's a good question on a lot of believers' minds these days. Why is it important to support Israel? What does God mean when he said to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, like it says in Psalm 122:6? Will God judge America and the whole world? And how close could we actually be to that happening?
Yes. And what exactly does Bible prophecy mean? Okay, we're going to talk about that a lot. Yeah. And I'm just going to mention to Joe, who is taking care of the technical things, that I'm hearing a delay. I'm hearing my voice, but it's like later, it's delayed. So either turn me off or whatever. This is our first show.
This is our first show. So, you know, the ship doesn't, we're out in the ocean, but we're not.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. So also we're going to discuss how do today's world events fit into Bible prophecy? Well,
yes.
We'll be covering a lot of that. I'm telling you, there's so much to do. We're going to be here for a long time, many, many years, if the Lord doesn't come back. Just covering all these topics. But we're also going to talk about a rapture of believers, when, and also give many Old Testament and New Testament verses to support the fact, I believe, that we are going to see the rapture of the bride of Christ before Jacob's trouble. And we'll be talking a lot about that. Mm-hmm. I'll also cover some of the scriptures where those that think that we're going through the tribulation, why they think that, and the scriptures that they're using, and we're going to talk about that too. So that's going to be, in fact, I'm thinking, John, I don't know what you think, but maybe we should even just do one of those scriptures every week, you know, instead of doing them all at once on one show, which...
That's a good idea.
You know, that might...
Oh, yes.
Also, we're going to talk about what is the day of the Lord. You know, people don't really understand what that's all about, because have you ever read in scripture where it talks about the day of the Lord, and then it'll say that it's kind of wrathful and judgmental and scary?
Yes.
But then sometimes you talk about the day of the Lord and it actually is describing the millennial kingdom. So what's that all about?
So which is it?
That's
right. Is it a day of judgment or is it a day of blessing?
That's right. We're going to talk about that too. Okay. Has God made actual appointments with his people? Did you know that he has a huge book up in heaven and he writes down these appointments?
Okay, now that...
Okay, I'm exaggerating
that
a little
sounds,
bit.
That sounds a little doubtful, but I'm not going to prejudge, because it's amazing what God does and has records of.
Oh, and he's so detailed.
Yeah.
But yes, he definitely has made appointments with his people, and they're in the Bible, and we're going to cover those at length also.
Okay.
And also, has he kept any of these appointments? We're going to cover that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Antichrist, you know, this guy that... You know, he's coming on the scene. Maybe some people think he's already here and can name him. We're not going to do that. But some people think it's just an organization, or is it a person? And we're going to cover why I believe it is definitely a person. We'll talk more about, what will Christians see any of the tribulation? Okay. And again, it's called Jacob's trouble. It's a 7-year period of time. We'll kind of cover that with the rapture stuff.
Okay.
And we also want to talk about Hebraic roots. And we're hopefully going to have time to talk about that. Why do we need to know about our Jewish roots? Do you know that we wouldn't even have a Bible if it wasn't for the Jewish people? You know, so let's cover that.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about typology. Now, this is where we get into the meat of the word, you know, and Christians, if you're listening today, you can't just stay on milk. The Bible's very clear in Hebrews. Stop the milk if you've been a Christian for a year, for sure, and get on some meat, some steak, okay? And we're going to talk about typology, because that's certainly the meat of the word. In other words, like, creation was 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. Now, John, do you think he was tired? Do you think he had a rest on the seventh day?
Not the God that you and I know, I don't think.
No. So there's got to be a reason why all that happened.
Yeah. He could have created it in one day, or in an hour,
in a
or a second if he wanted. So why take the trouble of spreading it out over 6 days?
You got it, John. Yeah. You learned something.
Yeah.
Through the years.
See, through the years I have learned something.
Also, we'll be talking about some idioms common in the Old Testament and the first century. For instance, like, you know how it talks in the Bible about how we're not supposed to have an evil eye?
Yes.
Well, for the longest time, I thought that meant I couldn't stare at anybody. Like, yeah, right, you just did it to me. Yeah. I wish we had TV so they could see that. That was good. But no, what it really means is, if you have an evil eye, you are stingy.
And it's a figure of speech.
That's right.
You can't take it literally.
And what about a good eye then?
What would that mean, that you were generous?
That's right. And it's kind of those things. And, you know, and there's different idioms for the shofars that are blown. And, oh, gosh, we have so much to cover. I'm so excited. Also, what do we mean by the War of Gog and Magog? You know, we've talked about that, for 20, 30 years, I think most Bible students have. And we're going to do some clarification and show you some things that you might have missed when you read it. We're also going to be talking about the Aleph and the Tav, or the Alpha and the Omega. We're going to talk about how to study God's word the proper way, which Bible interpretation should we use. And I'll start off by saying right away that all Bibles have their problems. Okay, mm-hmm. The King James is probably has the least problems, but because it's Old English, it's really hard to read. I prefer the New King James because I think it's closest to the King James. But also, if you are going to be a student of God's Word, I encourage you to get what we call an interlinear Bible, or certainly the PC program that you can put on your computer.
Yes, yeah. You can have that in your laptop.
But what an interlinear is that it has the English right underneath the Hebrew or the Greek. And so very few mistakes are made that way. And then it's
so you can read a Bible passage and then look directly underneath it and see it in the Greek as it is, as you're reading along
right there
with it.
Yes.
And also when you're in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, mm-hmm. You're going to see the Hebrew.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
now,
I'm so blessed because if I have a real question in the Hebrew, I can call you and you can tell me.
Well, I got a question for you now. Suppose you've never, some of the listeners out there don't have a reference book like the Interlinear Bible. Mm-hmm. And maybe you should tell them the name of the author and maybe give a little details. For instance, like my question would be, okay, so there's the Hebrew underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know which word it is you're looking at? Because I know that a sentence structure is different in different languages.
Right. Hebrew.
And the word directly above the Greek or Hebrew word is not going to necessarily correspond. So is there like a reference to Strong's on those words?
Absolutely. And I use my Strong's Concordance all the time. Sure. Although now with the computer, there's a lot of other concordances and dictionaries and that, whatever you're comfortable with. I'm a little older, so I happen to continue with the books only because I don't like staring at the computer screen for really long periods of time.
Right.
And I enjoy going back to my books and just looking up a word and finding the definition. And right above the interlinear word is also a number, and it corresponds with the Strong's.
I
use the Hendrickson or Sovereign Grace interlinear, but we'll talk more about that too.
Okay.
And I'll have the number that they use in the beginning of the books to tell you for sure what book it is, SBL number or something.
IBN or ISB or something
that
like that.
I'll get you that and bring it next week.
See, folks, you can tell we're not scholars. I mean, not in the traditional sense of the word. But just one more thing on this subject. If you were to decide to have a trade like being a carpenter or even a surgeon, you have to have the right tools.
That's right.
And when you study the Bible, you have to have the right tools because it's a little tougher than you might think. Only because it comes from a different culture, it's in a different language, you're reading a translation, and the more you can get back to that original language and culture and have the understanding of the language and culture, the more you're going to understand the text, whether it's in English or French or whatever.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And also I want to tell people that they can email me during the week if there's a particular question that they have that they want me to address. I can certainly do that. And if you want to just call today, we're going to be opening the lines.
Okay, yes, we'll be opening the lines. Would you like me to mention the phone
number? In about 15 or 20 minutes. Yeah, why don't you give them the numbers? They can write them down and be ready.
Yeah, be ready. And at about, Okay, here we go. Here's the numbers. Our number here is 216-901-0933. And if that happens to be a long-distance call for you, don't worry. We have an 888, a 888 number. That's 888-677-9673. So the first one again, 216-901-0933, and then 888-677-9673. And we'll be mentioning it later, too. And you should have a pencil and paper ready anyway. There might be some other things you might want to write down.
Oh, yeah, and have your Bibles out, too,
have
because
Bibles
we'll be
out.
Going to that.
Yes.
Also, try to keep your questions to end time prophecy because that is my forte.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask me other questions and I'll give you what I think is a good answer probably. But I might also say, hey, you know what? Let me do some research. I've got a library at home that I might have to go to and whatever.
Okay.
So
we'll do our homework.
That's right. We certainly do. I also want to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all gifts are tax deductible, and all donations are needed to stay on the air. And in fact, while I'm talking about that, I would like to thank one of the sponsors of this show right now. And it's Mullet Masonry, working with either brick, block, or stone. Their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and tuck pointing in older homes, as well as the bigger commercial type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. And they're experienced. They do great work. They're affordable. And on top of that, they're very nice to boot. And I know that for a fact because I know them. So if you need a free estimate, call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep this show on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him on WHKW. All right. Now, with that, I think we should give our statement of faith. It's always good that Christians out there know what we stand for. Mm-hmm. Make sure, because there's, you know, sometimes ministries that aren't where they should be, I guess is how I want to say it. But our statement of faith is that we believe in the Trinity, that Jesus came in the flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary, crucified, and rose from the dead. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower all believers and is coming again in two stages. And much of what we will be discussing in the coming weeks is Jesus' return. And just how close are we? Amen?
Yes. How close are we? I think there's that's on a lot of folks' mind these days.
Yes, it truly is. And I have people that really have never given Jesus their hearts, and they're asking me questions too.
Yes.
So it's a good time to be alive. Mm-hmm. I believe that we are that generation that will see his return. But if we're not, I'm going to act like we are, because that's what we're expected to do.
Yes.
Be looking for him at any moment. And John, this is such a good thing to bring up right now. There are good Christians, good believers that think that they're going through part of the tribulation. And this is something that we're going to be addressing weekly. But it's always been important that we were looking for our Savior at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Once you think we're going through any part of the tribulation, that nullifies the fact that we're looking for him, because then we're really not. We're looking for the tribulation to start, or we're looking for this Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I don't want to look for the Antichrist. I want to look for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you some scriptures here in a few minutes about what the Bible says about that. But first of all, I want to tell people that the number one desire of this ministry is to stir you up, Christians, to spend more time in God's Word. We are experiencing the death of discernment in the church. I'm telling you, it's the truth. And only the Word of God produces real discernment. Hebrews 5:14. Through the Word, you exercise your senses by frequent use.
That's pretty plain.
It's pretty plain. And unfortunately, today we get bogged down with the cares of this life, mm-hmm. okay? And we have a tendency of putting God's Word on the shelf. And sometimes we don't pick it up for a week at a time.
That's true.
And then Christians are not going to have all their armor on, because it's the Word of God that puts on the armor. And I want to say something about that too. I know good, solid Christians that get up every morning and pray Ephesians and put on the armor of God. But I have to tell you, you can't pray the armor of God on you. You have to be in the Word so that the armor is on 24/7. I don't want to think that it comes off while I'm sleeping and I need to put it back on in the morning, because I'll tell you what, I don't want the enemy to have any control of my dreams. So, being in the Word is how you're going to have the armor on. Jesus is the armor. Jesus is the Word. Okay, and we'll be talking about that a lot. Okay? Okay, so, let's make sure you have your Bible, have your paper, and your pen. even quickly call a friend. Did you like how that rhymed?
Yes.
And if they're not local, tell them to use the web at www.whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. Okay. All right. Now, let's continue with an important fact, because I really think this is important to get out on the table right away. As I was already saying a few minutes ago, that all through the scriptures, God always wanted his people, the righteous, to be looking for him. Always. Yes. That's why they were looking for him way back in the Old Testament. Always looking for him. Now, in the Old Testament, they were looking for the Messiah to redeem them. Mm-hmm. Although, unfortunately, they kind of missed it because they also thought he would come as king. And they didn't all realize that he would be a suffering servant first. He would be that sacrificial lamb that would cover their sins, die for their sins. But now today, since he's already done that, we are looking for him to return as king of the world.
And that's what Messiah means.
That's right.
Right.
What does it mean?
It means the, actually, literally, it means the anointed.
That's what I wanted you to say.
The anointed one.
The anointed one. You betcha.
But in the context in the Jewish community, the Messiah is the king who's going to rule on earth.
That's right. And what I'm also trying to say is that this expectation from the righteous of his return at any time that pleases God, that really pleases God, so much so that he has arranged for a special reward of a crown to all those who are anxiously awaiting him to come at any time. A special crown.
So you are actually rewarded for that.
Let's open. Yeah. Let's open with that scripture, okay? Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4:8. And I also want to mention, too, that I have a friend, and his name is Gabe, and he is going to take the CD of this program, and he is going to put it on my webpage, and we're hoping that that works well. It might take a few days, and so you can tell your friends just to go to my web, which is shofarministries.net, and actually .com works, too, now, so either one. Ooh. And hopefully this will be on by the end of the week, and you can tell your friends to listen to it. But 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." There's that "in that day," "on that day" thing. "And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing."
Hmm.
Do you see that? It sounds like to me that Timothy, Paul is reminding Timothy, because it was important to tell his church that there was a crown of righteousness that would be given to all who have loved his appearing. Now, to me, this makes me think that in those beginning days, it was a given that if you were righteous, you were expecting him at any time. That's why it was called a crown of righteousness.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in fact, Paul actually rebuked some believers in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 2:2 for even thinking that they were already in the tribulation that some were declaring and saying that they were. And I have to chuckle because I hear that today so often. And they were doing it already then, which makes me think this is not from God at all, but a thought that maybe the enemy's trying to push in there to have you not look for Jesus or to fear.
Yes.
You know, or to fear.
What do we have to fear today? The fear is rampant.
Mm-hmm. They're scared because
people are frightened. But
if you're a Christian, there's no fear at all should be involved. None at all. If you're a truly born-again Christian and you spend time with God in the Word, you have your armor on, the enemy can't touch you. God will take care of you. He will provide for you. He will give you your needs. Not any Christian will ever go hungry or be out on the street. It's just not going to happen. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, he will do it all. And you know what? He even says in Matthew, I think it's 6, that we are to worry for nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
What more is nothing? Nothing is nothing. And, of course, if he can take care of the sparrows, he'll take care of us, and that's what he promises to do.
So we don't really, if we're believers, we don't really have anything to fear. But what if you're a believer and you're not looking forward or looking for his appearing? What if you're going and you're saying, I need more time. I'm young. I'm getting married. We're buying a house. And yeah. The Lord comes back. And
I know.
All this and,
I remember 20 years ago, I was talking about it, and somebody said to me, well, I just hope you wait till after we take our Hawaii trip.
Well, yeah. That's what...
And I mean, that's how some people feel. Well, I don't want them to come down, especially the youngins, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I want to have a baby, and I want to have children, and I want to get married and all that stuff. And I go, oh, honey, you're going to get married to Jesus Christ. It's much better. Trust me. It's much better.
Should we live? How would we live like he's coming back tomorrow? Now, there's been things done in the past that very embarrassing for the church. People waiting for Jesus to return on top of a mountain.
Right.
They sold all their worldly belongings.
Oh, I know. That's so sad.
And, you know,
it's sad because it's given us a bad reputation.
Right. It has given us a bad reputation.
But again, they were coerced and listened to by the enemy. Yeah. They just listened and did stupid stuff. It wasn't God telling them to do that.
Right. Are we going to find out how to actually live like you are expecting his return?
All you have to do is spend time in his word. Okay, that's it. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He doesn't even expect us to be close to perfect. I'm certainly not even close to that.
Yes.
You know, I'm still under construction. You know, I have my problems, and I know you do too. He said, but he loves us so much, and he looks at the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the heart that counts. And if your heart is right, then you will want to spend time with him in his word.
Now
I'm going to be coming up against a hard break here in about 3 seconds,
yes.
But go ahead, finish your thought.
Maybe we can come back to this, but I want to talk about people that have a hard time studying.
Oh, sure.
And reading, period. And they're adults.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
well, while we're at break, though, I'd like people to turn to their Bibles to 2 Peter 3:3, and I'm going to talk about that when we come back a little bit, too.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Hey, Frank, what you do? Inherit some money from a rich uncle?
What do you mean, Bob?
I hear radio commercials for your business all the time. Sheesh, you'd think you were like a multinational company or something. That's got to be costing you a fortune. That's why I ask, a rich uncle die?
Yeah, right. Seriously, Bob, I just made the decision to start advertising my business and generate some new sales. Heck, all my competitors have either closed shop or slipped into the weeds. I may as well start advertising, because they sure aren't. Folks are still buying, and since my competitors aren't advertising, I can run commercials now and pick up business that might otherwise go to them. Besides, radio advertising has never been more affordable, so I don't need any relatives to kick the bucket to do it.
Makes sense, Frank. Maybe I should do the same. Got a name at the radio station I should talk to?
Just listen to the announcer.
What announcer?
This guy.
To find out about affordable and effective advertising, call General Manager Mark Jacox at 216-525-1800. That's 216-525-1800. Ask about our buy now pricing for all new customers.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try saw palmetto, but beta prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription beta prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try beta prostate risk-free. Call 800-251-3226. Your satisfaction is guaranteed, or you get your money back. Call 800-251-3226. That's 800-251-3226.
Yeah, continue the thought, though, about the crown of righteousness.
Okay.
Okay. And in 2 Peter 3:3, Peter warns us about the scoffers in the last days. You remember that scripture? I don't know if you turned to
it. In the last days, there shall be scoffers.
There will be scoffers. Okay, well, I always thought that meant those that don't know Jesus Christ will just laugh at us and say, oh, where's the return of his coming? I've been hearing that for years, blah, blah, blah. And I guess we do hear that from unbelievers. But you know what, John? And this is what the shocking part is. I'm hearing it from the church as well. Mm-hmm. And that is what's really sad. And the reason is because they really don't think that Christ is coming before the tribulation begins. And believe me, he is. He's going to return for his bride, and we're going to meet him in the air. So, is it important to be expecting him at any time? Well it is if you want to get a reward.
Well, obviously, yeah.
Right. In his book, Grant Jeffrey quotes from an early church writer, Dr. Klink, and he stated that this constant expectation of our Lord's second coming is one of the characteristics of primitive Christianity.
Hmm.
Okay? So let's look at a scripture also. Let's look at Philippians 3:20.
That's interesting.
I'll give you people a chance to turn to it. And we're also going to be looking at Hebrews 9:28. But Philippians 3:20 says this: for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think he's trying to tell us something. I can't read it.
That's our engineer, Joe.
Yeah, I wish I had better eyesight, Joe.
He's keeping us in line here today.
Amen. All right. Also, let's look at Hebrews 9:28.
How fast can we get there? You can tell we don't have our laptops today, correct?
Well, you know what? Like I said, I use the Bible as much as I can. I really do. I like the computer, and I use it a lot,
yes.
But my eyes get strained after a while, you know?
That's true. That's true. And after a while, you know, we believe that the Holy Spirit helps you in your study,
yes.
And that should be encouraging for those who are just starting with study skills or have never mm-hmm. really gotten good study skills. The Holy Spirit will help you.
Oh, absolutely.
And I mean literally.
We can't even do without the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I mean, he is our teacher.
Yes. And
I only stir people up to get them in the Word.
How many times I flipped my Bible open when I needed to go to a certain space, and it's flipped right open to the to the right page. And
I
so I don't know, maybe.
He's good. He's good. Amen. All right, 9:28, Hebrews says, let's start in 27 just because I love this. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So isn't there some faith to believe in reincarnation or something like that?
Well, yeah.
We only die once and then the judgment. You don't keep coming back to see if it's right, to get it right or whatever.
To get it right. Yes.
Okay, but let's go on.
Okay.
28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and to those who eagerly wait for him. Now, let me just say that one more time. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin, because he already did that, and this time for deliverance. Some Bibles might say salvation, but the deliverance is really a better word, and it means to rescue. The word is
4991?
Yes, thank you. So Sotaria?
Soteria.
Yeah, and it means to deliver or rescue. Rescue from what, John? What do you think?
Oh, well, I'm thinking offhand that the judgment of God, maybe, or the
rescue. Oh, I think you might be right.
I think you might be right.
Amen. So here's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
There's a special award for those who are eagerly waiting him at any time. That's what we were always supposed to do, is to eagerly wait. Whether he was coming back or not is immaterial. It's that we are anxiously awaiting his return. But still in Hebrews, it also says in Hebrews 10, 25, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Wow, that is an exciting scripture, because earlier in the book in chapter 9, he's saying to eagerly wait for him. He's going to appear. And then it says to exhort one another and encourage one another as we see the day approaching. So therefore, can we kind of get an idea of when he's returning?
Well, obviously, if he's saying that we can see, I mean, that's standing out really big to me.
Yeah.
As you see, who's you? That's us, the believers. As you see the day approaching, that tells me right now, as believers, we should be able to see the day approaching.
Well, and there's so many signs. And on 1 week, we will definitely go through the multitude of signs that we're seeing today. But probably the most critical is that Israel is back in their land. That was what he said would be the crux of all of it.
All of it.
Actually. So, and they are back in their land. And he's not going to let them give it all away. I know they're giving a little bit away. And the UN and our current administration is putting the pressure on Israel to give even more away. And those are kind of things that we're going to be talking about also. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's go to another scripture that I want to use. Well, we already talked about 2 Thessalonians 2:2, and that's where Paul said, hey, you know what? We're not in the tribulation. And I'm hearing it today. The first time I heard it was actually in 1993. And that's when the Oslo Accords were signed between Israel and the Palestinians. And that's all I heard was, we're in the tribulation. We're in the tribulation. They signed that agreement. But let me tell you something. That wasn't it.
No.
And the biggest key that I knew it wasn't it is because we were still here.
Exactly.
And I've got lots of scriptures. And again, we won't probably get to much of that today, but we're going to. And there's plenty of them.
And of course, there are those of you, if you have been taught, you know, in a Bible study that you're going to go into the tribulation, maybe halfway through it, or we are in the tribulation. And you have scriptures that you think, say that. We also know those scriptures, and also there's a great, you know, there's so many scriptures for a pre-tribulation rapture. There's so
more
many
more than we even know.
More
you
than
know?
We even know.
Everybody thinks it's just the two ones that we use all the time, but no. I've got a couple pages of them.
The last 7 years, you've found more even.
I know.
It's all. Remember what we said about pictures and figures of speech. In the Bible, there are pictures, and God's chosen to show us things in pictures, like the creation, the picture of this the 7-day week.
That's right.
And
also, we want to make sure that people know that the lines are open now for your end-time questions. And you want to give those numbers again, John?
Yeah. I think they're right here on page 3, aren't they?
Yep.
If you're calling locally, you can call us here at WHKW 216-901-0933. And long distance outside the area, that's 888-888-677-9673.
Okay.
Okay.
And would you like to keep this show on the air? Maybe you have a business that you would like us to mention. And give me a call at 834-9006. That's area code 440. And I'll mention your business, okay? Also, as long as we're on that topic, I have another sponsor that I'd like to mention. And her name is Nicole Maruse. And most of you have heard of the all-natural, non-toxic Arbonne health and beauty products. Well, I love it myself, and I use the makeup every single day. Well, Nicole is a local representative of the Arbonne line, and would like to help you find the right products specially suited for your type of skin or body needs, including nutrition and weight control. And she's also a weight trainer as well, and I know I have to get her to work on me a little. But anyway, be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. That's 840-2176. And you might want to ask her how to maybe earn some free products or start your own business to help with those extra expenses, especially in today's economy. So Nicole's number is 440-840-2176. And once again, don't we want to bless those that help keep this show on the air? So if you would like your company mentioned, please give me a call, 834-9006. And we'll repeat that again later at the end of the show.
Okay.
Okay. Gosh, do we have any callers yet? No, not yet. Well, in that case, let's answer the email that I got recently. I think her name is Ruth. John, can you read that?
Yes, I can. And this, the one from Ruth. Okay. This is an email, and it's a very good it's a very good question here. It says, she says, thanks so much for your letter each month, that, referring to the newsletter that we have every month.
That's right. And any buddy that sends in a donation automatically gets put on the monthly newsletter.
Yeah, she says, we look forward to it with joy. Just received a letter from David Wilkerson. And that's probably Pastor David Wilkerson, via a friend. He says that fire, David Wilkerson says that fire is going to fall on D.C. Now, does that mean Washington? I don't know. It just says D.C.
Probably.
In God's judgment. So how do you view David's words? To me, I don't think he believes in the rapture. Everything is doom and gloom. I am skeptical of total negative views. Yes, we must be on guard, but constant fear does not produce the joy of Jesus.
Sure. First of all, I love David Wilkerson. I've been reading his letters for a long time. I did read the last one, and I do want to comment that I'm just not quite sure if his choice of words would have been ones that I would have used. Yes, God's judgment is definitely coming, and I believe we are in the foreshadows of his judgment coming. So I would have chosen a little bit of different words, you know, because there's no doubt about it. God is starting to lift his hand, certainly from America, and I believe the world. Mm-hmm. And at some point, the judgment of God, the real 7-year tribulation that he talks about, is going to begin. However, we're not there yet. Okay, we are seeing signs because he said, you're going to see these signs and to encourage one another, not make people nervous and you know, afraid. I'm not afraid because I really believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I'm going to be out of here. Now, sure, I'm concerned about those that are going to be left behind. But I want to tell you, there is no reason that anybody that you know or any family member should actually go to hell. And the reason for that being is because we are in that generation that I believe will see the rapture. And the rapture is going to be a catalyst for those that will realize that maybe what we've been saying is true and will get on their knees right away. They will be a part of another group called the Tribulation Saints, and they probably won't live through the tribulation period. I know that they won't take the mark of the beast and they'll probably die. However, they will be raised later and go into the millennial kingdom. They won't be the bride, because once the rapture happens, the bride of Christ is gone. But there's other groups of people. Okay, and that's awesome. Praise the Lord and hallelujah and all that. But as far as Dave, he's a good man, and what I believe he's visioning is actually going to take place during the tribulation time, and he's just seeing those visions now. But I don't believe we're in God's judgment yet, but we're close.
And I think we should still pray for Washington and our government until that time goes. Until the time,
always pray for our leaders.
All that. Time,
pray that they'll find the Lord.
And there are, you know, there's a lot of, like she says, doom and gloom. But there are people that are believers that are in Washington, D.C., and they go to work every day there. They're up on Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to keep them in our prayers.
Absolutely. We should always pray for our leaders, pray for our president.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So really, God, pray for him.
God forbid. I don't want to see another repeat of anything like 9/11.
No, not
but
at all.
But God's judgment in the tribulation, Sheila, isn't that Isn't that a way to get our attention? Isn't he using the tribulation to get people to repent?
Absolutely.
He doesn't want to punish us, but some of us don't listen until we see a meteor coming out of the sky. And I'm sorry, but that's how some of us are.
And he says it in Hosea, chapter 2, I think it is, 15, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But he says, in their affliction, they will seek me.
Right.
And it's too bad that we have to have it that way, you know?
That's true.
But we do.
People seek God when we're in trouble.
Right.
When the cable's shut off and we lose our job and things like that. That's when we have a tendency to seek.
Be closer to the Lord, don't we?
Closer to the Lord,
yes, we do. But, you know, that was a great question. And also, again, I just want to mention that prior to this 7-year tribulation, which Jesus refers to as the birth pangs, you know, he is very good at using pictures, you know, typology.
Mm-hmm.
And often before a woman goes into actual labor, she will experience what we call Braxton Hicks contractions. And it's a false labor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I believe that's where we're at right now. We are in the Braxton Hicks time. We are feeling the effects. We're feeling the some of the birth pangs, but the actual labor hasn't really started yet because it's going to get a whole lot worse if
you read Revelation. And like they say, you ain't seen nothing yet.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
We've never experienced God's wrath.
No, we haven't.
No.
I want to mention the foundation of Christianity a little bit before we, gosh, John, can you believe we only have a few minutes left?
Well, we've got a lot to cover, and I still would like you to address the issue of if you're not such a good reader or studier, for that matter, if you could address some of those issues for people that would like to study more, but when they start reading, when they pick up the Bible and they read a few verses and they can't really make out what they're even reading because they probably have a King James, you know, original King James or something like that. We need to give them people some pointers.
Well, I do encourage to use one of the easier translations, but there are paraphrases. And a lot of times if you're just a brand new believer and you want to try to understand more of what you just read, you can certainly read it in the paraphrase and it usually will help. It doesn't always isn't as accurate, but for a new believer, it will work. And you know what? We have a call. So I'd like to take the call from Mike in Cleveland. Okay. And you're on the air, Mike.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Easy.
Hello?
Yeah,
say it again, Mike.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Great. John, it's Mike, your neighbor.
Oh, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for listening today.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, I wanted to donate some money. I'm sure I'll give it to you later on that.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that I'm one of those Christians that are praying for a revival for this country, and I just wanted your input on that.
And you're praying for revival because you'd like to see more people get saved before all these things start happening?
Yes.
That's a good question and one that I'm asked a lot. But here,
okay, and I'll hang up now. Thank you, guys.
Oh, sure.
Mike, thank you, and I will see you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
I believe there are revivals already going on. There are more on a smaller scale, mm-hmm. okay? There's certainly not going to be a whole revival in America. It's just not going to happen. You know, how many minutes do we have left? Five. Okay, good.
Can you answer this question in 5 minutes? I think so.
Yeah, but we are definitely seeing people come to the Lord, and especially places other than America, okay? You know, I understand China and the other places are really having a lot of converts right now, praise God. And a lot of Muslims are coming to the Lord, I heard.
So we're not wasting our time if we're praying for revival. Is that correct?
Oh, no, because there's going to be but smaller pockets. It's just not going to be, you know, statewide or nationwide. Or anything like that, because that's unscriptural anyway. Because few will find it, you know, the road is narrow and few will find it. Where most of the people are going to get saved is going to be during the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it's going to be the big revival. And it's all going to happen because we are telling people right now what's going to happen. And even if they think we're crazy, which a lot of them do, at least when we disappear. And again, this is a catalyst. This is one of the reasons that the rapture is going to happen. When it happens, people that we've told are going to say, oh, my goodness, they were right. And they're going to get on their knees. And I suggest getting on your knees right away. Don't wait. The best way is to do it now, of course. You can be the bride of Christ. But if you just don't see it, you can't seem to get it or understand it, then at least when you see what we've told you come true, get on your knees right away and you'll be a tribulation saint. And at least you'll still be part of the kingdom. Probably die, probably be a martyr, but at least you'll be part of the kingdom.
So we're those that are going to be to meet the Lord, as it says in the air in Thessalonians, because God loves us, he's taking us away from that judgment. We won't have to see it. But we're also going to be, I think, like a sign for those that are,
It's the catalyst, yes.
As a sign for those that remain, they're going, well, those nuts were right and they're gone. But they're going, and you know, but other people are going to see that. And to me, that would bring me to my knees to see a loved one, especially,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
Just,
and that's why I say we are blessed to live during this time, because we can tell our loved ones and our friends what's going to happen. And again, if they don't receive him now, I believe they will have another chance. Now, not everybody will, okay? There are some wicked out there that'll just never see it, never get it, and never get saved. And I'm sorry about that. It's just the way it is. But most of the people out there are just kind of average type people. They're kind of good. They believe in good works can get you to heaven if you're a good person. And oh my goodness, that's so untrue, because we can never be good enough. Can you be good enough, John? I can't be good enough.
Actually, the Bible, God has concluded all under sin. And the Bible concludes all under sin so that he can forgive all.
Right.
You know, it's
he does.
And that's all. I mean, you can be a really good person. And I'm telling you, there's mm-hmm. good people out there.
I know.
That aren't saved. And their goodness exceeds a lot of some of the people who are saved. But that's right. Not the point.
Yes.
The point is God has had to say, everybody's not going, you're all unrighteous. And he said that in order to be able to redeem all people.
And he's also the only way. If there was any other way, why would he have to come and die for our sins? We must get to heaven through Jesus, not being a good person, not doing mm-hmm. the good works or going through any other religion. It has to be through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. And, he is our Savior.
And to continue to trust in him, because it's always been that it's the blood that atones for sin. And when God came from heaven to live with us on earth and had his own blood, his blood he used as an atonement for our sin.
Amen.
And that blood is, as it says, since we are in Hebrews, the author says, is way better than any sacrifice of goats and cattle or anything like that. That blood is the blood that's going to make you clean and forgive your sin and deliver you and to make you able to stand before God if your judgment day comes today. It may not come in, you know, in a couple of months. It may not be in the tribulation. Right. Your judgment day might be today.
Right now. Exactly. So, you know what? We're just about out of time. Joe, what do we got? 1 minute? Okay. I want to mention that I'm going to be speaking at other churches coming up. On June 3rd, I'm going to be at the Chester Christian Center in Chesterland on Route 306. On June 11th, I'll be at Lakeshore Assembly of God in Menor on Lakeshore. And June 13th, we'll be back at Shofar Assembly in Burton. Feel free to call me, email me, ask me directions. I want to hear from you. I want to know whether you like the show or not. What would you like to hear? And send me your questions. It's been fun. This is the first show where I think we're ironing out the bugs. I think I got it, you know, pretty well. I don't know, maybe.
We got the bugs ironed. They're all flat and they look good now.
Amen to that. Okay. Again, we'll be back next week with more teaching of God's Word. And I hope you'll join myself and co-host John next Saturday at 1 o'clock. And make sure you tell some friends about this most unusual broadcast. And I'd like to bless you with the Aaronic blessing.
Yevrekecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
Shalom. You want to give it in English?
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Oh, shalom, people. Have a good week and blessings upon you for listening.
See you next week at 1.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.